The Share Pickers Weekend Podcast with Justin, Paddy, Peter and Steve. The content of this podcast is not intended as investment advice. It is for information purposes only. People in this podcast may hold positions in the stocks they talk about. Do not buy anything based solely on a tip or recommendation. Please do your own research.
Welcome to the Weekend Podcast. I'm joined by Paddy, Peter and Steve. All right, lads.
Hello.
Hello.
Hi.
Yeah, Paddy, do you say hello to people generally, you know? If you come on a chat show, you say, hello, everyone.
I was just looking at motorbikes.
Okay, nice. In fact, you know, right, the thing is, if you listen to the start of this podcast then, the more, you know, sharp-eared, I don't mean like Spock, I mean, you know, observationally wise, would have picked up on the new sort of voiceover at the start. Very expensive voiceover. You know, you could hear him on such things as the Weekend Podcast and other stuff.
See, I thought Paddy put like a special voice on, so it didn't sound like it was him.
Yeah, because Pete, you haven't heard Paddy doing his voiceover, have you?
No.
Paddy's got a really serious voice with his voiceover. It's a Weekend Podcast with Paddy, Peter, Steve, Justin.
Excellent.
Do you do that, Paddy? When you have to do a voiceover, because you have done voiceover work and you do a voiceover work, do you have to put on a special voice?
No, I just project a little bit more, and I tend to try not to talk like I've got a Croydon accent. That's all.
Yeah. It is confusing. Yeah.
Just put some T's back in. You know.
Yeah. Well, it is confusing. You are called Paddy. You claim you're Scottish, but you've got a South London accent. What's going on there? It's no wonder you messed up, really. But we haven't done the Weekend Podcast for 2 weeks. Last time we did it was live on the YouTube channel, and you boys came down, stayed the night, went to the local pub there, and had a few drinks.
Has there been any demand for this? Has there been...
Yes. I've had two people asking, what's happened to the Weekend Podcast?
Was one of them Megan? No.
One of them was Steve.
Steve was saying, boys, where are we?
I couldn't work out what's going on.
Steve is here on his own for an hour, thinking there's not very chatty this Weekend Podcast this week. Normally I'm the quiet one.
Like advertising companies, they'll sometimes, like if they're trying to work out if their advertising is money well spent, they'll turn it off in a region just to see, like they'll switch it off in Wales to see if their sales go down.
Yeah.
And I just wonder whether with this, like we switched it off for 2 weeks and...
The market's gone down.
Did anyone notice?
Yeah, well, the market's noticed.
Maybe that's it. That's why the market's gone down. Because we haven't done the podcast for 2 weeks.
Yeah. Well, no, I'm going to do so. This channel now, if people are listening to this right now, it's now the Share Pickers Podcast. There's only two podcasts a week on this channel. There's the Weekend Podcast, which is this one, and there's a midweek podcast. And I'm going to do chatting about investing, you know, and things I find interesting about investing. Once a week, just on my own.
Right. So what's happened to all the other stuff? What's happened to all the good stuff?
Sacked and stuff. No, because it's me. Vox and the Weekend Podcast didn't sit well as a brand together. We talk about nonsense. The midweek stuff was very serious, chatting to CEOs about, you know, digging up stuff in Africa or something like that, or whatever, or, you know, a new contract out or something like that. And we'd just be talking about Steve's rice cooker on the weekends.
I can't see the problem there.
So, you know, it wasn't slick, you know, under one roof. So, but for a long time, I've had this channel for years. You know, this channel, and sort of when Vox came on, they sort of said, we want to do a podcast, and you got followers. So I rebranded Vox, but then now it's gone. We set up a Vox channel for themselves. And this is my channel, so I'm going to do my stuff on my channel. I've been walking the dog and listening to audio stuff, because I've gone through loads of music now. I've had my fill of music again. I'm bored with it. I've listened to every song there is, over and over again. I'm trying to find new ones, and I try to find new songs, and they're out there. You know, they're all brilliant.
I was listening to some good African ska music. Coming back from Wrexham today, that was all right.
African, look at that, African ska music coming back from Wrexham. So Steve, where did you get the influence from African ska music? Oh, from Wrexham.
sat in the services in Wrexham, having a Burger King, and my friend suggested it, so I thought I'll give it a go. It was all right.
Yeah, so you and your mate are sitting there chomping away silently on Burger King, and he just turns to you and says, Steve, yeah. Have you ever listened to African ska music? No, let's give it a try. And then you finish your Burger King rappers down back to Wales, down to South Wales.
It's quite joyful, actually.
It is quite joyful, but I mean, how long? How much of that can you take? How long is the drive from Wrexham to South Wales?
I think we did about 10 tracks, and then we went over to Kanye West then.
Wow. How old are you, Steve? Are you 40 now?
Yeah, 40, yeah.
You're going to grow up a bit, aren't you? I mean, no, I've listened to all the music, and I've listened to some audio podcasts again, and I downloaded Audible again, just going to listen to audiobooks. I've gone through podcasts. In fact, one for the recommendation station a bit later is I'm listening to a book called The Psychology of Money by Morgan Housel, and it's very good. In fact, Paddy, I think you'd like it a lot, and Pete and Steve, but it talks sensibilities, really, and... Is it an
afterthought there for Pete and Steve?
Yeah. It's about living frugally, I suppose, you know, and not trying to be rich fast and all that stuff. And there's a bit about that in there, but you know, Warren Buffett and Charlie Munger. Obviously, everyone's heard of Warren Buffett. Charlie Munger is his right hand man. He's as sharp. He's almost as rich as Warren Buffett. But they're known together. They do their shareholder meetings. And it's basically they fill out an auditorium in a massive place. In fact, people queue. Can you imagine this? In Omaha, once a year they do their sort of annual general meeting. Thousands and thousands of people turn up. We're talking about tens of thousands of people turn up to Omaha. And they have to...
We can't be far off for the weekend podcast.
No, exactly. We're not far off that. But it's exactly. We have a couple of people ask where we were last weekend. But so they do that. They even have to book out marquees. So you can actually sit in the same room as them. But you have a marquee next to the room they're in. Watch them on a big screen. But anyway, Charlie Munger and Warren Buffett there.
Now, Just watch online, lads.
I know, exactly. But I suppose a lot of his fans, though, are not into online stuff.
Warren Buffett fans?
Yeah. Are you kidding? It's like anything, any game, any sport, any field. If you are the best in that field, you're going to have fans, isn't you? You know?
You're his number one fan, aren't you?
Yeah. Well, number two, I think.
Okay.
I don't know who number one is. But anyway, there was three of them. The generally was originally when Berkshire Hathaway started up, that's their investment vehicle. When they started up, there was three of them. There was Warren Buffett, Charlie Munger, and a guy called, I think his name was Rich. And he's nowhere to be seen now. And someone asked him, where is that guy, the third guy that started out with you? And,
the rich guy. We're all rich.
And he said, basically, he went broke. So what happened? He said, me and Charlie Munger always knew we were going to be wealthy because we were investing in good business very, very cheaply. And we were in no rush to get rich fast. He was. And he started taking on leverage, you know. So he really wanted to, he knew he could invest. He's a good investor, but he's also a big risk taker. And then all of a sudden he was borrowing on leverage to invest in stocks. And then 1970s crash happened. And he had margin calls, you know. They said, listen, you know, the stocks are going down. You have to give us some money for these stocks you loaned. And so he didn't have the money. And so Warren actually bought his Berkshire Hathaway shares off him for $40 a share, right? Have a guess how much they are now, the Berkshire Hathaway shares.
42.
Yes. Yeah.
Well done, Warren.
Yeah, I know.
They're thousands, aren't they?
They are $433,000 a share.
Yeah. Oh, okay, there you go.
So that's why he's rich.
But he comes
out, yeah, he comes out with, I'm not sure he's rich, could have been Stewie. Mm-hmm. But he comes out with things like that, and there's lots of stuff like that in the book, and how everyone thinks that, you know, Warren Buffett's system doesn't change, and it does all the time. It's investing. So when you have a go at me for my strategy changing or evolving, right? Warren Buffett's changed all the time. Even Benjamin Graham, who's the mentor of Warren Buffett, his strategy changed all the time. And in fact, I think there's rewrites of his book where he said, the old strategy doesn't work now. You've got to adjust it. So if you look back, Warren Buffett would never have invested in Apple, right, ever. But yet, his biggest win in dollars, not percentage time, in biggest investment win is in Apple. And he would not touch tech companies ever, and he changed his mind and he invested in Apple. But so you got to change a bit with the times, you know. You got to go with it. So
sounds good. Is that a free podcast then, or is it?
So the podcast is, you know, so Morgan Housel is on. There's a podcast called We Study Billionaires. He's on that. He's basically pushing his book, but the book is called The Psychology of Money, and it's worth listening to. 20 chapters, very quick. And he said, I don't mess around, you know, with 10-20 hours worth of audio. But it's good. It's about everything, you know, from people who think they're rich. But you see a guy in a Ferrari, you assume he's rich. He's not wealthy, though. He's rich. All you know about that guy is that he's probably earning some money, but he's probably 100 grand in debt. He talks about the difference between assets, you know, and liabilities. Mm. Like, and there's lots of things that, if you go on Instagram and follow accounts like that, they say, try and accumulate assets, not liabilities. Things are liability, essentially, you know, because they cost you money and they depreciate. So those things that you show off with, pretty much. And there's a story about Rihanna. Apparently, Rihanna nearly went bust, didn't she? Because, you know, financial advisors tell her to buy stuff and she wanted to look rich and all this stuff. And all of a sudden, she'd overspent. And it's the same with any footballers. You know, footballers gamble and stuff. And people say, how can they spend 300 grand a week? Because people always live over their means. So, you know, if you were earning, you know, 300 grand a week, you wouldn't go into Asda and buy own brand, would you, or cheap brand? You'd buy the top of the range. Why not? And he talks about hedge fund managers saying, I can buy it like a 60 grand car, but why would I want to buy a 60 grand car? This is dollars, this is. When, you know, you get sort of a headmaster buying that kind of car. I'm a hedge fund manager, for F's sake. I want to buy a car that's, you know, so you'll buy a car just to show off, you know? So it's very clever about money. The psychology of money, it's worth listening to. Morgan Housel, worth listening to anyway.
I just looked, there's 384 episodes.
Yeah, no, he's a guest on one of those. He's not on all of them.
Oh, okay.
He's not the host of that. No, his book is called The Psychology of Money, and he's on, I thought I was clear on that. His book is The Psychology of Money, and he's just on there plugging that book.
Got it.
All right.
Yeah, sounds great. We're checking that out.
Okay.
Very good indeed. But I'm always searching around for stuff like that, and so I'm going to listen to a few more books now.
You've given up on music entirely now.
Yeah, well, after 3 hours of African Ska, where do you go from there? That's the top of the tree.
That's it. Yeah, completed.
Doesn't get better than that, does it?
Yeah.
I think there's lots to be said for music.
No, there is. I walk the dog now, and I want to have something in my ears to listen to, you know? And I've gone through all the music. I've done, you know, African Ska. I've done, Australian rock. I've done, you know, Lebanese ragga.
Remember that Italian Eurovision song that you were slating that then went on to win?
I said that was the best! I said, at the time, you were in my house watching Eurovision. I don't know why we're doing watching that. I said, if I went to Italy and want to see a rock band, this is the kind of band I'd pay to see. I said that was, and they won! Everything else is trash.
You said before that, you said, why are we listening to this foreign rubbish? They're never going to sell any records in the UK.
No, they never will. The ironic thing is...
top 20 on Sunday, so they're doing all right.
This is top 20. What do they sell these days? Ask Bobby McVeigh from Red Dragon FM. He was on Eurovision, and every time there's a number one hit, he used to say, Eurovision, look at this song, it's number one. It's only sold 40,000 copies. In my day in Eurovision, we got to number 8, and we sold 250,000 copies. That's what it was. And then
he'd play a blast of his track just so he could pick up the NCPS and PRS.
He wouldn't play a blast of it, he'd play the full song.
But Bobby McVeigh is funny. The reason why we lose at Eurovision, let's be honest, because every other country is jealous of our industry. Our industry is internationally recognised.
The UK.
Not only that. We have sold, you know, our island has sold more albums than all the rest of the idiots put together in Europe and all in Israel. Let's be honest, they're jealous completely. We are international best-selling artists in the UK. It's just in our blood. The rest of them
smashed up with Gina G, didn't we? Yeah.
Yeah, the rest of them are crap. I've been to France, right? I've watched French TV, music TV. I've worked in France for months. And it's all sort of black and white, slow ballads, absolute rubbish. And then English song comes on, it picks up a bit. Or American song comes on, it picks up. But then they banned English songs from the chart. They censored us because we're too good.
I'm just trying to look at the lead. I think France came second or third.
Yeah,
they are crap. They're all Europeans are crap, and that's the sole reason we shouldn't have even gone stuck with them in the EU. They can't even make music. It's embarrassing. If you look at them, they are just embarrassing. Absolutely.
Oh my God.
I forgot we were going to get 3 weeks of pent up opinion in this podcast because we've been off for so long. Having I should have said, blocked out longer than an hour.
And do you know what's further embarrassing, right? Was the Italian song, I quite liked it. It's a good rock song. He's got something, that guy. And then he denied taking drugs. I said, are you kidding? You're a rock star. He said, hell yes, I took drugs. I'm a rock star. I said, you are pathetic. You're not even a proper rock star anymore. Rubbish. Absolute rubbish. He was going to take a drugs test. No, mate, you're a rock star. You don't take drugs tests. That's part of the game. That's how fake and fabricated they are. If you're a rock star, he said, yeah, of course I did. Yes! Proud of it! Anyway, let's get on to Stocks and Shares, shall we?
Oh, yeah, that's it, yeah.
Forgot what the podcast was for a second.
Stocks and shares, eh?
Let me say, when you have, sell-offs like we've had recently, and it's grinding lower and lower, psychologically, how do you deal with that in your head? I know you get a bit jittery, Pat, and you keep asking if I'm selling stocks and stuff.
I know you're selling, so that's fine.
I'm not selling.
I haven't looked at my portfolio like more than a couple of times a day for the last couple of weeks. I've hardly noticed. It's only at the end of the day when I click on it, and I'm like, all right, yeah, we're down again.
Red again, cool. Yeah.
Yeah. So it's not really affecting me, I've got to be honest.
Doesn't it bother you at all, Pete, Steve? I mean, Pete's a bit more laid back, I think. Steve, he's driving from in the North Wales, isn't it? This African scar.
He's just lost an African scar.
Different planet, completely.
No, to be honest with you, all the stocks that I'm probably been going down quite a lot, they're the ones that actually I'm quite confident with. And ironically, all the ones I'm worried about and kind of want to sell off, like BT, have all been doing quite well at the moment. So yeah. I've been fairly happy with my portfolio, if I'm honest.
Yeah, because BT that we sold out in a long time ago. Oh, by the way, just one more thing on Warren Buffett. Listen to this, it's a fact here. He didn't become a billionaire until he was 50 years of age. And in fact, 99% of his wealth has been earned after his 50th birthday. That's compound. Wow. That's compounding for you. Anyway, so, yeah, no, do you know what? Because I did a video on the webinar, on the Share Pickers Investment Club webinar about the psychology of investing. And this may sound odd, but ignoring share prices will make you a better investor. And it goes back to Buffett a little bit. He famously doesn't have even a computer terminal in his office to look at stock prices. And he said, I don't care if the stock market shuts down for 5 years because companies I'm invested in are businesses, They will be fine in 5 years' time. And I think daily movements in share prices affects our sentiment. You can't help but do that. And the reason why we get into investing is to make money. And so it's really painful when the opposite happens. You start losing money. Think this is not supposed to happen. And do you know what? A lot of it, in fact, we had this with On the Market. Paddy, you started sowing the seeds of doubt, all right? On the Market, doing very well. The final results come out, doing very well. Sign up loads. The share price is rallying again now. And this is the thing. We tend to focus on bad news on down days and the good news on up days. It's basically confirmation bias.
Hang on, I can't believe you just thrown the...
You said that. Do you remember you kept saying about it? You kept asking negative questions about it.
It went through the floor because you sold.
No, it didn't. It's a 60 million market, 70 million market.
You sold your £500,000 worth of stock, or whatever it was, and that's why it went down.
No, it wasn't that. It was grinding lower. It was grinding lower anyway, wasn't it? You have this. Shares, and I said this, I likened it to the tide. I did an analogy of the tide and shares. They go in, they come out. It's the market function. It's how it works. People can't handle volatility. The good investors are the ones who can handle it and stick through it. And realise it's a business under it. The business is doing well. The share price, it's got nothing to do with the business on a daily basis. Long term, yes. But you'll have fluctuations in the market. It goes up and down. And you like this as an analogy. I don't know if you saw the webinar. But I said, imagine you want to be a pro... No, you didn't see that. Thanks. But you imagine you want to be a pro surfer, right?
I really do.
Well, you imagine... imagine being paid just to surf those tubes and going down through the tubes there. And I love to study this. Surfers only spend 8% of their time riding the waves. So like 54% is they're sitting there, 28% paddling, 10% missing some waves. But if you don't see any good waves, you don't get out and sell your surfboard, do you? I'll sell the surfboard and buy another one again when the wave's picking up. Oh, in fact, there's a big wave coming. Let's buy a surfboard. Let's get back in. You can't do that. That's trading, essentially. You can't do that. You have to go up and down and wait for them, and that's it. The market's in and out. And so people panic when the tide is going out. There's no less water in the sea. It'll come back in. Don't worry. It happens. And in fact, do you know what? There are opportunities to, if you've got spare cash and you have confidence in the business itself, buy more. I've been buying more Plarium all this week. Topping up every little bit every day this week. Every day. Yeah. I just see it as being a huge company. And I'm thinking, I'll be kicking myself in about 3 years' time, I think, if I really haven't, pushed the boat up a little bit with this and got a bit big on it. So I see it as a massive company. I think, and these little dips, don't worry about it. They got cash. They got FDA approval. There's been several companies. One of the worries about the FDA approval, if anything, is xenon gas. Xenon gas has been passed by the FDA, by the way, to be inhaled. It's not a problem. There's been a sort of 4D company that's just X-ray analytics of the lungs. Not as good as Plarium, because Plarium can actually tell you what's happening in the lungs due to xenon gas, the gas interchange, all that stuff. That's been passed. I see very little chance of it not passing. They're in connection with the FDA every day. And so this is the kind of company, one company like that can literally become something like, you know, several bagger and transform your portfolio. So you've got to have a decent amount of stock. I'm going to hold 5 stocks now. That's it. 5 stocks. Because every one of those then can transform my portfolio. And I'm happy with that kind of risk, you know, reward.
Yeah, but for how long? How long until you decide you want to have a little
forever.
Fiddle around somewhere else?
That's got nothing to do with shares, though, is it? Oh, yeah. Right, I see what you're saying. Mm. No, but what I'm saying is, no, I will do that. But
until your strategy changes again.
No, it's not changing, Stephen. It's evolving. Evolving.
Okay. Yeah, yeah.
We all evolve as humans. You know, years ago, we were, you know, bent over, you know, getting insects from the floor and using sticks as tools and stuff, you know? In fact, they're still doing that in parts of the valleys.
Good old days.
Yeah,
Speak for yourself.
In parts of the valleys, they still do that. That's fine. But,
you have 5 until you buy 6.
No, listen, I know now. I'm learning. Every day I'm learning. Every day I'm learning, yeah.
What are you going to do with your time?
We'll just top up. research.
Every day.
You'll have to get a hobby.
Search what?
This is. I don't need to do anything else. I'll maybe, you know, maybe top slice one, bring the other one, never go below. Because I want at least around about, you know, 20% exposure, minimum 10%. If I've got more in one than the other, but minimum 10%. There's no point investing in a company if you don't have at least a minimum 10% of your total portfolio worth in a stock. No point. It's not going to do anything for your portfolio. If you do well, you know, pointless, absolutely pointless. Hey, it's a good analogy here, right? Just talk about share price, because I know a couple of people in the group, you can see get jittery when, and it affects all people. And I showed a picture of a roller coaster. I said, look at that roller coaster full of people going over a dip. Some of the people there are terrified, some of them are smiling, some are not. And so it affects different people in different ways. Don't look at the share price if you're having it. We'll have, you know, a couple of sell off weeks. It may happen. You don't, you know, generally, it doesn't last for like 3 or 4 weeks, but you have a couple of weeks where you have sell-offs and you, one day, in fact, I think on Thursday, we're recording this on Thursday, but most of my portfolio, I think, was down, all red, apart from 2. And you'll have that. And if it affects you, don't look at the share price, switch off social media, because on Twitter, generally, people only boast about rises. It's not good for you. Comparing is not good for in life, generally. That's why social media doesn't make anyone happy, because everyone's comparing and boasting, aren't they? Thinking, oh, they're showing you their highlights, and you're thinking, oh, my life isn't that good. Maybe I should get a tan and wear nice clothes and smile at the camera, you know. And so it's no good for you. So, and here's a good analogy, right? Listen to this one then, right? Would you panic sell your house if you saw the house prices went down for the last quarter and then buy it back again in the next quarter if house prices start going back up?
It's not a good analogy.
It is very good.
I don't live in stocks.
No, but hang on, you live in socks. Socks, because you are naked most of the time, but off my socks. No, but listen, what I'm saying is, right, don't constantly buy and sell improving businesses, because they're an asset. Your house is an asset, right? Businesses should, good businesses, improving businesses, their assets should be increasing. So what percentage of people do you think have lost money or bought a house and lived in it for 10 years? Not many, you know? Shares are too liquid. That's the problem. They're too easy to buy and sell. If they're as difficult as houses to buy and sell, right, you'd research more before buying, you'd hold for longer, and invariably make more money. So if you're invested, you know, in a good business, time is your friend, as in years, not days and weeks, years, or, you know, at least months. So that's why I'm going to hold. It's been the same with Palladium's, one of my best performers, and it's continued to perform, you know.
Yeah.
You have doubts, you have got that confirmation bias, share price goes down, you start looking at the negative side, because that's what CNBC do and Bloomberg do. When there's a big sell-off, everyone says, oh, look, there's interest rates are going up, there's a threat of this, this man's head's exploding, the president's leg's falling off. And all they do, anything they can think of, they throw the negative narrative, you know? But it's not
so with
true.
With Palladium, when they get, I keep saying when they get FDA approval, if they get FDA approval, what could potentially go wrong after that? Or is it literally all go from there?
It's all go, Steve. It's all go.
It's all go. Could anything go wrong after the FDA approval that could affect you?
It's a business, isn't it? But if you look at Palladium, right? I don't know if you might know about... I don't know too much about it, but in medical terms, they have peer research it, and they have published papers by people, you know, in the field who are very experienced, And that's what they're doing with... First of all, they're going to look to sell their machines to top 100-tier academic, you know, sort of institutions, hospitals in the US. And pretty much everyone else follows their lead because they have the best doctors and all that stuff. And they've had over 1,000 papers published, reviewed and published on Plarium's tech. And that is amazing. That just underpins how good their tech is. And like I said, you know, right now they're discovering long COVID in people that, you know, hasn't been discovered with CT or MRI scans. And I genuinely believe it'll be the new standard. It has to be the new standard because you can't find damaged lungs on what we have at the moment. Now, if you want to cure someone or find a solution to the cure, you've got to know what the problem is. If you haven't got tech out there that can't find the problem, then get the right tech. It's, you know, medicine is like this. You know, people will pay for the best tech. And that'll happen. I can't say... When Richard said that, Richard's very conservative. When he did say, I see polarizers in most hospitals in the world in 10 years, I think he's right, because it's the best tech, isn't it? Why wouldn't he? If you know, like anything, if your computer came out that's better than anything else, you know, 1,000 times faster, well, that's eventually, obviously, the price will come down, but eventually people will have that computer when they are the best. Anything in any field is the best. Why not have it? Especially
if... What if they don't get FDA?
Why shouldn't they? It's non-harmful. It's more effective. I don't see why they shouldn't. I mean, you know, they may say that the FDA may say, "Oh, excuse me, Richard, I see." What accent am I doing there?
I don't know. Yeah. Keep going.
Hey, Richard, you've not dotted the I and crossed a T in this paragraph, so we're refusing it for now, okay? And right. So I say, "Oh, I'm very sorry. I'll take it back and we'll dot that I and cross the T." I say, "Good." Okay. Right.
But they can then resubmit, can they?
Yeah, we resubmit that. And,
But how many years later or whatever?
No, they can do it straight away. Just email. Right, it's just basically an attachment on email.
Yeah. Let's try again.
Yeah. It's like a PDF, again. You know, so several pages, lots of pages in it, of course.
That's probably what they're doing right now.
So why are we waiting until September if we're ready to go?
No, because you need...
question.
No, because they can't just say it's you know, it's a medical device. In fact, what's it going back with? You know...
To be fair, that guy from the FDA, that he didn't sound the sharpest.
Richard, we got a page 1007 missing completely.
And he's new teeth.
And he's Richard said... Are you sure? I don't think it is. 1,007 is. That's the last page. That's the index, you know. It's a, check again. Yeah. No, it's blank. So, oh, you think... Have you checked the printer cartridge in your printer? Let me check. Doris, check the printer cartridge. Oh, we've run out of ink, Mr. Prison.
Is that Minnie Mouse?
That's it. Oh, sorry, Richard. We ran out of ink. And
I'm myself, Valerian. I don't like the sound of this FDA. They don't sound very professional at all.
Yeah. And he says, by the way, Richard, why have you sent this to the FBI? Oh, that's not the FDA, is it? No, it's .fbi.com. You need FDA.com. Okay.
Really, why are we waiting until September?
Because...
It's October, Steve.
Seriously, do you know flidamide? Do you know flidamide?
You're avoiding my question.
Yeah, this is part of the question. Flidamide, they had...
It's part of the question, it's
that,
not the answer.
Years ago, they had that drug. There was this supposed to stop sickness in pregnant women or something like that? And then basically had deformities. Now, that was the reason, the very reason pretty much, that they had these phase 1, 2, 3 clinical trials and FDA approval for all drugs, because that drug came out around the world pretty much without any kind of high level approval. And America is about to come out and they stopped it. They said, right, no, hang on a sec, what's going on here? So they have to have that kind of level of scrutiny, you know, make sure it's safe. First of all, it's got to be safe. That's why I have phase 1, 2, and 3s. First of all, it's going to be safe, then it's going to be effective. Because it can be safe and then not work. And that's pointless. So it's going to be safe and effective. And so, obviously, the more effective it is it damaging people? Or is it killing people? And they'll accept a few deaths, you know, but not too many. But with their device, it was a drug-device combination. Now, the problem wasn't with the drug, because the drug is xenon gas. That's already been passed. So is the device safe? Yes, it works. It's fine. So it passed phase 3. So they go to the FDA then. FDA just got to read through all it. And, you know, the guy's got a ticket on holidays. There's a big, long holiday read. And say, yeah, we quite like this. It's working quite well, isn't it? And then they say, yeah, rubber stamp, passed, done. And that's it. Because if you imagine, they've got thousands of stuff submitted every day for all kinds of drugs. And so, you know, it's in the queue, it's all, you know. That's what it is. But yeah,
we could see a little rally in the price in preceding the FDA announcement, couldn't we?
Has it got up to a pound yet or not?
Not quite.
No, never. It touched a pound and then got a bit shy. Oh, it's a pound! We've never been this high before. And, it's just charting's like that, isn't it? Resistance levels at very round numbers. It's very simple. That's all you need to know about charting, really.
Right.
But, no, it'll break the pound. You watched it. I think last time, like I said, I did a video on that. But a month before, it really rallied. I think this may pick up quicker than that now, sooner than that, because I think more people know about it, you know, so, yeah.
What's your prediction if it gets FDA approval?
Oh, well, listen, the broker note is already at 135. Right now, the new brokers say it should be at 135 right now. That's without the FDA approval. And they say a 90% chance of FDA approval, a positive FDA approval. So, yeah, so I think it'll rally like crazy. I mean, there's going to be some churn all the time there because
it'll go down, won't it?
No. It's honestly, genuinely, I think it's one of these in that book. Like I said, 26 years it takes to get the average 100 bagger. Now I think this is a 100 bagger. I think it'll take 26 years because we've done more than where's it? Where did it start? In fact, let's look at the chart. How much have you done so far?
I've done about 20 bags already.
Yeah. Well, it listed.
Well, if it's going to be 100 bagger, I need to buy more of it.
Well, it listed it at like 15 pence.
So send out the email to tell us.
Yeah. This will be a 100 bagger. That'd be good if they sent that out, wouldn't it? So it's started at 15 pence, right? So it's not quite. It's 90 pence dropped today. See, that's everyone. See, I don't know if it's market makers, market down, or just people just. You know, we in their pants. The market's selling off. Let's sell off, everyone. Just sell. Why? Because everyone's selling. That's why the market's going down. Yes. What? Yes. Well, I've just sold. And the market's rallying. Jump back in. selling. Everyone's like, ignore that. They're not by the selling. Sell. That's really, it's insane, that's it. Isn't it? That kind of mentality, herd mentality. I need to do well invested, just sitting there and doing nothing. The more I think about it, in fact, the next book I'm going to listen to on my AirPods is that 100 bagger book. I find it very hard to read. There's a lot of technical stuff in that. You just fast forward that. Just get to the meaty. It seems like a book that's quite, easy, but it got a bit heavy at points. But I may reread that because one of the things that stuck out was that.
I get a hardback.
No, I didn't get it. It wasn't that exciting, Steve. I didn't get that excited about it, no. Did you get a hardback? Why did you ask that, Steve? Did you get a hardback?
Heavy at times.
Okay, Steve. Anyway, what should we talk about? Anything?
Why are you selling Escape Hunt?
I'm not selling a scale. I've not sold one single. See, this is your.
I know you, Paddy Panic.
I'm
joking.
I said it's
gone down a bit, though, hasn't it?
Yeah, but
that's hurting you more than me.
Again, it doesn't hurt. But listen,
marks a bit.
In the last, since Escape has gone down from 50 pence or close to, it touched 50 pence. Remember that one day I won the bet.
No,
it touched 50 pence. It's come back to what? Where are we at now? 37. My portfolio's gone down by about 300 grand in the last 2 weeks.
Jesus! Wow.
Yeah. But, I'm not losing money. It's just that's how assets go. If you had an electronic tag, an electronic tag on your house, you saw the price going down every day. Oh, the price is going down. It's the same house.
This analogy doesn't really work with.
Assets. It does. Name an asset, right?
It doesn't work. It's an asset you live in. You can't sell it.
You can live in an escape room.
It's not as volatile.
You can't sell Harry and Larry either, so,
similar.
Same kind of thing.
Last time we hit that price and I said we should probably just sell our stock and then, buy it when it's cheaper, wouldn't have been a bad idea for you.
No, because it would have. Because, you've got to, listen, if you start chopping and changing, getting that mentality of tinkering on the edges here, tinkering on the edges there, next thing you know, you're on 100 stocks, you're tinkering on the edges and making no money. just tinkering all day.
You know, it's grand.
It's like it's like the Lady of the Road June just tinkering with their daffodils all day, whatever they're doing. I don't want to tinker. We know of a company going big. Start off going big. In fact, that's one of the things actually said. Who was one of the big investors say? Successful investors, right? Don't pick any more winning stocks than you do. But when they see a winning stock, they go big on it. And also their losses, they cut quickly if they know it's gone wrong. So, you know, and so you have to go sort of a bit of conviction in a company and go for it, you know, and that's it. Let's be honest, they are, just escaping right now, they're like 33 million. That's not nowhere near overvalued. They've got like 20 escape rooms or 19. They're going to have 50. They've got a roadmap there. You know, it's nowhere near saturation point. It's nowhere near mainstream yet. It'll be mainstream within every city of every town, fair enough. That's mainstream. They're nowhere near that. They've got, you know, and they've got a roadmap there to be at least 100 million market cap. That's at least three times where they are. And I see it going to £152.
Just, is Escape Hunt still your favourite one?
It's my biggest holding, yes. Yes.
No, it's a favourite, which is like your most favourite, excitable one.
Well, I don't know. I like Plarium. I like, I like Affinity. I like, it's a company I just bought that I can't
what
mention.
What about Truefin? They had some news.
Yes,
out,
yeah. Well, again, do you know what annoyed me a little bit here? Truefin, they announced this. Otago, they're an investing company, they're a holding company, sorry. One of the group, there's four companies there. So Otago is one, it's financial solutions. It's invoice finance, basically. They help small companies get paid faster, automated. Lloyd's liked it, and they've done a commercial trial with them. 6 months from the 11th of December. And they'll know by 6 months if they're signing a 5-year contract with Lloyd's. And that would mean a massive ramp up in the revenue that we'd get. It's white label, they use in Stargo. And then they announced, obviously, it was the 11th, on Friday. And so they announced on the 10th that there's an extension, 6 months. A commercial part with Lloyd's. And it sold off on that. And they said it's anticipated that the trial will conclude during the 6 months extension period. And if successful, lead to a 5-year commercial agreement with Lloyd's Bank. Both parties are keen to work closely and continue the commercial pilot, in which, this is a good bit, in which Otago will develop further integrations with the bank's infrastructure and drive additional reach through Lloyd's regional sales network. Now, does that sound to you like it's not going to happen?
Well, on one of your webinars, when the guy was saying basically they've embedded it so deep now, it's pretty hard to pull it out now.
Oh, Steve, it's embedded so deep, it's hard to pull out. You would know that from experience, Steve. Mm. It's literally embedded so deep. No, seriously.
It a hardback?
Yeah. But if you read that last statement he did as well, Ben, I think the guy from Lloyd's, didn't sound like it was a trial at all. He just said, we're really happy to... the first thing. So the thing is here, apparently what happened is this. It's a bit of delay due to COVID. That's all it is. Due to government grants. Because this finance invoice financing. A lot of companies are taking out grants that are free money. So it's delayed Lloyd's implementing it a little bit. So it's just a delay. It'll be done. It's a done deal. This is a done deal. You know what I'm saying? But it's sold off today. That there...
They should just send out an RNS saying, guys, this is a done deal.
Yeah. It's a done deal, yeah.
That would prevent the market sell-off. But you're right. I mean, that feels like an opportunity to buy some, no?
Yeah, absolutely. In which Otago will develop further. Listen to these words. You've got to read these RNSs closely, right? So it's not like, we're just still tinkering around. Will they accept it or not? They will develop further integrations with the bank's infrastructure and drive further additional reach through Lloyd's regional sales network. They're developing more stuff with Lloyd's. And I think if in the end, Lloyd's want to buy this. And they'll say, well, no, we don't know if we want to sell this because it's not exclusive.
Yeah, I was going to say, like, does working with Lloyd's mean they can't work with anyone else?
No, it's not exclusive. They've white label some product for them. So, but why wouldn't Lloyd's buy this? It's like, why would they pay another company? They just buy it, you know? I think this is cracking. And I said on the chat group in Sherpa, I said, if it dips like this for 3 weeks, I'm buying more of it because I think this is. 65 million, four companies. They got 15 million in cash. So, you know, minus cash, these companies just valued at 50 million. Four companies, all fintech, doing well, becoming profitable. PlayStack is going gangbusters. People are begging for, like, Mortal Shell 2 and Mortal Shell release on Steam. So, yes, I think it's undervalued. Oh, yes.
Yeah. I thought that.
Listen to this, then. I just read this tweet earlier on saying, it says, I have just instructed the president of our state-owned geothermal electric company to put up a plan to offer facilities for Bitcoin mining with very cheap, 100% clean, 100% renewable, no emissions energy from our volcanoes.
No.
Yeah, that's...
I can't quite place the accent.
How about do this? I have just instructed president of our state-owned geothermal electric company. No, that's not any good. Essentially, that is the president of El Salvador. He's told the head of the state-owned geothermal electric company to mine Bitcoin using volcanoes.
they've
just adopted Bitcoin as legal tender, right? And I think he's gone nuts. And if you look at him on Twitter, you know, a lot of Bitcoin fans have these laser eyes. They've got a laser eyes thing on the profile pictures. He's got laser eyes. He's the president of El Salvador. So all these Bitcoin enthusiasts and maniacs, you know, doesn't matter what you say, they are brainwashed that Bitcoin will take over the world. It'll be the world currency. You know, they've got these laser eyes. El Salvador's president has that. And all the Bitcoin hodlers are saying, look at this. So, a country is now adopting Bitcoin as legal tender. I thought, yeah, but it's El Salvador. They've got a 6 million population, and the president is mad. I mean, but they don't care. They'll take any sort of plaudits they can get. And they say, yeah, Bitcoin, yes. El Salvador will start. And then it'll be like, next will be, I don't know, San Salvador, and then some other, Guatemala. Oh, you know, Latin America. But Simon said that I did buy some Bitcoin this week.
Yeah. I bet you did.
I did. I bought some Bitcoin, some Ethereum, and some Cardano.
I've lost track of where Bitcoin is now. What's the price currently?
Let's see what the price is. It's like... I do think, though, it's like... The tech is very good. It's not been hacked in 10 years, you know. It's not been hacked in 10 years, and... It's an asset. It's not good for currency because it's not going anywhere because it's too volatile. But I mean, it's at $36,000 now. It hit 30, so it hit 65. So it did hit. It's halved. But that happens. It happens all the time. It's very volatile. But
It's not really an asset, is it?
Yeah. It was the best performing asset of the last 10 years.
Oh, yeah.
So even with this drop off here, because if you go back, literally, we are 36,000. It's nuts where it's come from, isn't it? Because if you go back to 2016, even this time, is it $127?
It's just like property prices.
Yeah, it is. Yeah.
Yeah.
But I bought Ethereum as well and Cardano because someone said, there's a good analogy on Twitter. They said, Bitcoin is AOL, Ethereum is Google. That makes a lot of sense.
Right. And what was the third one you bought?
Cardano is probably going to be the new Ethereum.
Gordano?
Cardano. ADA is the ticker there. Cardano, okay. Cardano.
Is that MySpace?
Yeah.
Yes.
Cardano. It's not, I don't know, it doesn't sound as sexy.
It's like coffee, isn't it?
Yeah, but they're building up. They're more going to get sort of. In fact, you know what? It's been adopted by Ethiopia.
Cardano?
Yeah.
Cardano?
The Ethiopian government has adopted Cardano, yeah.
Right. For what?
It's worth it, yeah. Stocks-wise, what are you talking about? Anything else, boys? Anything else?
I think you've covered the entire portfolio.
We're only allowed to talk about four stocks now. So
that's it.
Yeah.
To say, I'm still in on the market, so it was nice to
see. I sold mine, actually, when it peaked up, so...
Okay.
When it peaked up?
Yeah, so I made a nice little profit on that, and I thought, yeah, I'm done.
What did it peak up to?
I was about 700 quid up in it, so I thought, yeah, I'll do.
Steve just put an order with Harry and Larry. Can you sell at the peak, please? Yeah, no problem, Steve. We've had the nod and the wink from the boss of Oat on the market. He said the peak up is 110.
I just wanted to sell and break even, so when it kind of... Yeah, went up a bit. I was like, yeah.
Well, that's ambition for you. Break even.
That's why we're all here, lads, right?
Do you know, and that's how people literally lose money in the stock market. Wait till they get back. Steve, talk about break even. You mentioned BT and the French. Who is it? This so France's second biggest telecoms group, Altice, has acquired a big stake in BT. Altice is a French-owned telecoms tycoon. It's owned by tycoon Patrick Drahi. Patrick Drahi, who also owns Sotheby's and businesses in the US, Israel, and Portugal. Stake of 12% is much more than would usually be considered as a passive interest in the company. Not unless you call Steve. Steve, you got a big chunk of that, BT.
Yeah, I got 13%.
Yeah, or 13 shares.
That's 195. Wow, that's a huge increase.
Mm. Are you back to break even yet, Steve?
No, I'm still about minus 21% down. So
as soon as you get to there, I'm out.
As soon as it hits that nought.
As soon as I break even, I'm out of there, boys. Yeah, I don't mess around. Oh, no, I'm not loyal to any stock. I don't hold loyalty. I want to sit there all day and all year loving the company. As soon as I get a bit of break even, I'm out of the door.
Watch me. Yeah. Once it peaks up to break even, I'm out.
And that's why I've lasted so long in the markets. As soon as I get back to break even, I'm out of there.
What happened with SO4 last week? Did they did they go back for more money?
Yeah, no, it was something to do with a previous fundraise that they needed a bit more, and I don't know what's happening there. But,
they fell off a cliff, didn't they? They went down a lot, yeah. And then they've sort of come back a bit. But
it was that placing the extra placing we needed to do that they didn't say we mentioned this. They sort of said no. We mentioned that previously. Yeah. Further placing we mentioned. Do you not remember?
They promised they won't do any more fundraising, so I'll take them for that word.
Until the next one.
Again. Until the next one. Until the next one. Yeah, done with this one.
But they're going to start. Yeah. Are they generating? Are they producing yet? Or anything else?
You still own this, Steve, I'm guessing.
Yeah, still own it.
Do you still? Don't call me Break Even Steve for nothing.
Break Steven.
Hey, Steve. Do you still own an SO4?
Yeah, of course.
Of course
he does.
So, Steve, have you got time to go through the stocks you hold now? How many do you hold?
I sold on the market, so you know.
He's down to 16 now.
I'm down 16, yeah.
Down to double figures. Yeah. Yeah, I think you're holding a few dead ones in there, though, aren't you, Steve?
No, they're all going to come back.
Yeah, they're all come back to break even.
Okay. The only one that's really concerning, which is obviously my cash fund, is EUZ. So
I forgot that, yeah.
What's happening there? Is it still...
Oh, nothing's going on there.
Have they found any diamonds yet?
No, just rocks.
Steve, your cash fund, right, essentially, Steve, it's like a wallet with a big hole in it. You know, it's just, your coins are dropping out. So, Steve, buy a new wallet. No, it's fine.
Actually, it's not. It's going up. It's increasing in value.
Sometimes I find some money in the street. But you're dropping them. That's your money you're finding. No, it's fine. It's fine. It's all good.
Yes, that's exactly it, isn't it? People are just reimbursing him for the money. He's like, yes, back up to full up, back to what I had.
Break even, Steve. Put a sell order on that, Steve, since break even, please. I don't want any profit from that.
Yeah, don't use stop losses.
Yeah. It's a break even. They've got a special order for Steve. Steve's break even order. As soon as he gets back to break even, sell out! Sell! Yes. I'm not in this game to make money! Look at him! I made a profit. Let it go down a bit. Let it come back to break even. Do you remember when people used to say, someone said this to me on Twitter, said, would you take the vaccine, Justin? Would you and your family take the vaccine? I don't think so. Would you? These people, I don't know what he was, one guy, I think he was a builder or bricky or something, or plumber. And he was telling me, the vaccine isn't safe, Justin. Would you trust your children or your wife to take the vaccine? That hasn't aged well, has it, really, that tweet?
Did he send that?
That was about... it must have been last week. Just literally when they passed, when they passed the first vaccine in the UK, then they were saying, no, they've rushed it through way too quickly. And I thought, what do you do for a living, fella?
I mean, if there is something wrong with it, then 90% of the population's already had it, so...
Yeah. And hospitals and that, have you seen that now? The link between COVID cases and hospitalizations and deaths has been broken, according to...
Hancock.
Yeah, this is according to an NHS boss. Now, what does he know? Ask Bazza on Twitter. He'll tell you if it's safe or not. You know, yeah. His burger van. He'll tell you while he's serving burgers. He'll tell you exactly if it's safe or not. But, yeah, Hancock. This is it. Hancock says 91% of new UK cases are the Indian variant. A bit racist, I thought. They stopped calling it that now, haven't they? It's
Delta.
Delta 4, yeah. I was going to send an email to the BBC and say, will you stop calling it the Indian variant, please? It's very racist. And the BBC probably would have reacted to that, wouldn't they? But anyway, official estimates are expected to conclude today that the Indian variant, this is annoying, is 60% more transmissible than the Kent strain. Just when I thought we had a world record-breaking strain, you know?
Yeah.
Britain is proud of something. The Kent strain is Kent. Yes! Kent strain is more transmissible than anything, mate. Right? It's made in Britain, right?
Has there been one yet that's less transmissible?
What?
Has there been one yet that's less transmissible?
I know, you don't hear about those too much, do you? We find a new strain. Yeah, if we find a new strain, it's very weak. It didn't transmit between two people.
So that has happened. That did happen. I think that happened with SARS, didn't it? Or MERS or one of them.
The new variant that came out
was more transmittable but didn't do anything, so it just killed the whole thing.
Well, that Netflix documentary I saw about viruses, they're very clever. The best viruses are not deadly. Like Ebola hat disease, where obviously you can't get a Ebola hat stuck in your head.
Yeah, that's not.
I don't know why that's funny. I got Ebola. I can't get it off. Anyway,
no, that's not.
You're watching the humans documentary by any chance, where it said that?
No. But they said no. The Ebola virus is not an efficient virus because it basically kills you dead if you're not dealt with in hours, and it can't transmit very well. Of course, if you're dead, you can't transmit it. And so you've got to be alive. So it's got to give you the best virus is a cold. We can't cure it. There's no point because it makes you a little bit sniffly. Then it passes around so quickly, it's gone. You can't get rid of it because it's like no one's come up with the cure of the common cold. It's very efficient. So it makes you a bit sniffly, and I don't see the point of it, really.
What I still don't get is, like, what a virus's game? What are they up to? Why do they want to do this?
Just enjoy
just
it.
Just stop doing
it. Yeah, it's a good laugh.
What are they?
Pesky buggers, aren't they?
Why are they doing this?
They just, I don't know. I don't know if you can speak to them.
But no, but what are they? Why do they, why
that's
do they
what
exist?
That's what they need to do, is they need some kind of, sort of study lab that can create, you know, to get all these viruses together, the form of sort of mouthpiece, you know? Say, what do you want to gain from killing us? We just like having a laugh, innit?
But, like, I can sort of understand what bacteria are, but I don't really get what a virus is. I know this is probably the wrong forum for this conversation, sorry. I'm not sure I'm going to get an answer out of you three.
I'll give you an answer. It's like the chavs of virus of... what are you called?
That's a good answer, Steve.
No, you're right, Pad. We can't give you an answer.
Go on, Steve. Have another crack. Edit that bit out.
Go on, break it.
They're like the chavs of bacteria, aren't they? You know, they're just kind of like the rebels.
They're not the same. They're different. But I don't know in what way.
Do you see that? There was no pangolins. What are those things called that they came from? The scaly animals? Pangolins?
Pendragons.
A penguin. It's not a penguin, is it? I can't say penguin. Penguin.
The scaly things, yeah.
None of those are sold in that market where they think it came from a month before, apparently. It's from a lab, isn't it? It's a Chinese. Just to be honest, it always comes back to the Chinese.
But what people forget is, like, even, like, whichever way it happened, we're still responsible. Like, if it did happen in that market, humans are responsible because humans are deciding
I like that. There's no racist. We're all one race. The human race.
But we do the same things. Like the viruses and whatever else that are being spread around, like these intensive beef farms in America and the what the Danish are up to with pigs. Like, it's not like this is restricted to one area.
No. What are they up to with pigs?
They just stick them in these cages and there's like thousands of them in these barns. It's not a good look.
What for? What do they do with them? Just is it an art exhibition of them?
Barn dance.
That's where your bacon comes from, dude.
Oh, okay. I don't even
So, yeah, like, it's like we just got to stop doing that.
Yeah.
Because the more we do that, anywhere around the world, we're going to be creating these...
Well, hang on. I remember saying this podcast. Pad, when you were in here, I remember saying on this podcast, I said, if you look around, right, if you look at all the food we have, right, now, I don't care if you believe in God or not or a higher being or whatever. Now, fruit and vegetables, right, essentially, they're presented to you. In trees, they pop from the ground, the little apples. You have an apple. Little tree, mad tree says, hey, look at all these apples dangling down. Have an apple. Have a banana. Have a tangerine. Have a cucumber. or have a potato, you know. Now, they're there presented to you. But what do we decide to do? Chase down some animals, you know, chase them around. The animals don't like it. They're scared, senseless, because this mad animal's coming to the woods with this shiny metal thing, whatever, or a bolt gun. Just shoot them in the head, you know, skin them alive, blood everywhere. Oh, there's lots of germs in there. You've got antibiotics in mind because all this, all these really, you know, complicated ways of harvesting these animals and feeding them massive amount of food.
Yeah, but the loads animals of water. Also eat other animals.
No, I know, but we're not, let's be honest, we are an animal, but we should now be figuring out what's wrong here. And there's something wrong here, something going wrong.
That's the ideal world. That would be perfect.
Let's try and get there then. The ideal world.
In the meantime, let's just not put lots of animals in cages.
But that's going to happen, though. If you're all eating meat, a lot of meat, that's going to happen. And that's why...
Yeah, but that's what I'm saying. Let's eat slightly less meat, and then we don't need to do that.
Yeah, so number one, as you said that thing before, the number one answer to the problems we have are less humans. That's the biggest problem we have. We're overpopulated. Second biggest thing we should be doing is eating a bit more plant-based stuff. And regardless of whether, and people say, "Defender, I knew you're taking my meat off me." It's like in America, you know, it's my gun. No.
But mate, you can't tell. You really can't tell, can you?
You know what, Jess? Actually, you're like this. I went to Burger King, and now on their menu for their main burgers, like Whopper and one of the other ones, like big sign it now. So now comes in plant-based version as well.
Yeah, see, well,
that's quite good.
I bet you can't tell if you eat it.
Probably can't. Do you know, I was tempted, but I really fancied them.
But didn't I say this years ago? This is why I invested in agronomics ahead of the curve there. And you realise trends take a while to catch on. So, you know, that's why having patience is a good thing, sticking with a good business. And agronomics now has done superb. It's not going to get any smaller. Like, you know, and even cultured meat. Why wouldn't you? If the price is similar, the taste is similar, it's better for you. Don't kill animals. It's better than the environment. It's what they call a no-brainer, man. It's a no-brainer. You know, don't eat brains either.
It's like the guy from Beyond Meat says, it's like, eventually, fake burgers will taste nicer than actual meat.
Let's be honest. Only a psycho, right, would refuse to eat that alternative meat if it's better for you, tastes as good, even better, it's healthy for you, it's better for the planet, the price is the same. Who wouldn't eat that? Who wants to? No, I want to see a pig's throat cut for my bacon. That's what I want to see.
Probably farmers, but...
That's a bit farmerish.
It's true. I can't believe Vox didn't want us on their platform.
That wasn't...
It's been cracking today, isn't it?
That wasn't the case. I mean, you know, it's just, you know, two different brands. And I you know, I was the one that said, let's do this because you can be more free, you know, free reign, you know, guys.
Yeah. Anyway, what's the new Vox podcast going to sound like then? Is that going to be very?
It's the same
posh voice now.
No, it's the same without the weekend podcast and without my midweek podcast, and I'm just chatting about investing, more personal, you know.
Yeah, I see.
That's what I think. Anyone can talk to a CEO, but just more personal.
Can I have the Thursday show or something?
Yeah, if you want, Steve's Thursday.
Go on. Break evens Thursday.
I think late night love with Steve on a Sunday.
Yeah. How to love your stocks.
So this week I bought a rice cooker and and I'm going to play now this song from Patti LaBelle.
I've actually bought pizza stone since we last spoke. That's good.
Have you?
Highly expensive one?
Like a 30 quid job.
Steve, your kitchen isn't very big, right?
I used the barbecue the other day.
What?
I put the pizza stone on the barbecue.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, right.
Yeah, that works.
Yeah, what are you going to do in the winter?
I'll put it in the oven.
So what is it? I don't understand. Why do you just cook pizza in the oven?
Because the barbecue goes hotter.
The stone, you mean? No, what has the stone got after the stone?
Oh, right. Oh, yeah, you keep the stone so the pizza gets crispier. Pretty much the same as when you have a pizza.
This is a thrilling end to the podcast.
Yeah. Sorry, I shouldn't have brought that up. Yeah.
Yeah, go on.
I'm interested.
Rice cookers and pizza stones. All right. Let's just finish as we always do traditionally on any recommendations. I've done mine, and that's Morgan Housel's The Psychology of Money. It's a book, but it's worth looking if you've got a dog to walk. If you haven't, just get one of those leads. You remember those in the 80s where you got a fake lead? It looks like an invisible dog you're walking.
Right.
So have one of those, walk around and listen to that book on audio.
I think you're allowed to just walk.
You can just walk.
Or a fake dog.
But if you're a single man like yourself, just walking around the place, it looks a bit odd.
That's fine. That's absolutely fine. You're allowed to do that.
Yeah, if you are.
I've been watching Time on BBC One. That's very good.
What's that?
It's a drama with Stephen Graham, the Scouse lad, and there's another famous person in it. It's good.
He's a good actor, right?
Sean Bean.
He's a good actor, that Stephen Graham. But someone, Graham Norton, he's very cocky. He's very full of himself. And then I saw him in a drama where he had to do a Welsh accent. And I thought, why have they got... It was a real life sort of... I think it was called Murder in the White House, I think it was called. There's a little house in Essex. Anyway. And Essex. So they're in Essex, the murder. The detective inspector was like, or the detective... was Welsh. I thought, why? Why even pretended that? Why not? So he's a Scouser. I thought, it doesn't make any sense, that. So first of all, either just have him doing a Scouser accent, or just have an Essex bloke doing it, or just get a Welsh bloke doing it, if they want to be authentic. But in the end, you've got a really odd accent from the Scouser guy in Essex doing a Welsh accent. And
it's not that sort of North Wales accent, though, isn't it? Maybe he was going for that.
Yeah, but didn't
North Wales,
he was going for a southern Welsh accent, and like, it's very hard to do some of the things. Like, Pad, you know, do your Welsh accent, go on.
I can't just do it. They can't throw it at me like that. I need to think of something to say.
And Megan's the same. She tries and she goes off, and the tones go wrong.
You just need to overpronounce certain syllables, don't you, like?
Yeah.
Can you do a Welsh accent?
No, not really. That was more like a North Wales, though.
Yeah, it was. North,
super furry animals from North Wales.
Is that, like that. One sentence that, you can do in North Wellian?
Yeah, I always
start super furry animals.
Super furry, because that's how the super furry animals speak.
Yeah.
South Wales. All right, but how's it going?
Yeah, how's it going, Link? Yeah.
All right. Is it?
Yeah. Anyways, I don't know where we're going.
All right.
So Time. Right. So we got off. Right. So Time
on BBC. Podcast, is it?
Yeah, Time on BBC One. Or BBC drama. I look into that. Steve, you're normally a good guy to recommend stuff. What do you reckon?
Well, I've started watching something quite old, actually. It's been over 10 years old. A comedy on Netflix called Arrested Development. And it's very funny. Very random humour, but very good.
Is that one with Chris Pratt in it? And that?
No, that's Parks and Rec. I gave up on that. Sorry, Pete. It's rubbish.
No, it's very good.
No, Arrested Development is a... That's brilliant. I'd highly recommend that as a random comedy show.
Yeah, I've heard it's good.
Yeah.
It's just too long.
Yeah, it's about 8 seasons, but...
Oh, it's too much.
But you don't have to watch it all. Just chuck an episode on here and there.
Okay, I'm gonna watch that Parks... What is it called?
No, don't do Parks and Rec.
No,
do
the
rest of Development.
I'm just going to watch it to say Pete is rubbish. Yeah. So I'm going to watch the first episode and say Pete, that's rubbish.
You've got to watch the first, get into the second or third season, and then it's
good. Why? It shouldn't be taking that long, surely.
I don't know. It's good. No, I was enjoying the first season, but you might not.
All right, well,
Some series take a little while. Like the first series, the Hello was terrible.
Yeah. You're right there, and they proved to be consistent all the way through. Marvellous, lads. Have a nice weekend. I know you're off doing things. What's the plans this weekend? Peter's off. Paddy apparently had a call to New York or Los Angeles.
Oh, yeah.
But Paul, right now, you had a call to Los Angeles. Or I can't do it to the guy who's got a call to LA. Turns out.
That's what I do. That's my job. I'm going to the cricket tomorrow. So that'll be fun.
H. Baston.
Mm. Hey, keep it clean, Pete. Come on.
Sorry. All right.
19,000 people. No social distancing. It's going to be... It's going to be good.
Yeah, it's wild.
It's outside, doing it. It's fine. Yeah. It's all right, yeah.
Well, it's fine, whatever. But, like, the rules have been relaxed for this event.
Do you have to be double jabbed?
No.
Or do you have to be tested?
Well, only by yourself, which is pretty easy to fix, to be honest. They're just going, hell, why not?
Pete, what are you up to?
I'm going down to Devon to see my brother and stuff. Do a bit of sailing if it's any wind, or sit around drinking, I suppose, and admiring the sun if there isn't.
Yeah, well, I did say that we went away that week, and we hired a beach hut. And the lady we hired a beach hut bought it for $2,500 in 1990. Beach hut's now worth $85,000 down in Muddiford, selling for. And they are literally a shed with a kitchen in, gas-fired kitchen, and a, you know, that's nuts, isn't it? They rent them out for like 60 quid a day, or 100 quid a day, depending on how big they are. But it's $85,000 for a beach hut. You can buy houses in South Wales Valley, or two of them for that. It's nuts. Mm. Anyway, that's...
I'll have a beach hut, at least.
Yeah, to be honest, I would as well, if I had the option. Lovely. Steve, any big plans?
No.
Cool.
Cool.
Excellent. Cool. Let's finish on a high note, as always. Speak you next week, you boys.
The Share Pickers Weekend Podcast with Justin, Paddy, Peter and Steve. The content of this podcast is not intended as investment advice. It is for information purposes only. People in this podcast may hold positions in the stocks they talk about. Do not buy anything based solely on a tip or recommendation. Please do your own research.